This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. A lot going on in the world of sports today. We are planning to have Davis Bertans on here in just a moment. He has requested to push back the interview to 3:20. Apparently they have some post-practice things to do, or maybe he's driving back to home or the hotel, wherever they are. I'm not sure if they're in New Orleans where they play tomorrow, if they're still in town here. I suppose if you're on the road, you would just go to New Orleans, even though it's just an additional 45 minutes to come back home. I guess it makes sense to stay on the road. So, yeah, I believe they're in New Orleans. Their practice on the road has wrapped up, and he's probably getting all situated before he sits down and has a conversation with his guys in the G-Bag Nation. So, Davis Bertans, 3 of 7 from three last night, made some plays, joining us coming up at 3:20. Awesome, the Mavs beat the number one team in the East following the trade. Obviously, that's going to kick a bunch of storylines in there. And from what I can tell, he looks at himself as a leader, and he's a good talker. You know, if you YouTube Bertans, it's like his English is good and he's super engaged and ready to share his opinion and his thoughts on things. So I think this is going to be a fun basketball conversation coming up in 20. Now, usually we do Bobby Belt at 3:20, so we're going to move him in right here as he joins us now on the Diamond Factory Hotline. And a good afternoon, Mr. Belt. How the hell are you?
I'm great, and I want to make it clear that Bertans is the only guy I would have shifted times for. I would not have done it for Spencer Dinwiddie.
Okay.
Fair.
You are on the record.
I want to get it out there. After last night's performance, I said, okay, he can have 3:20.
You're a big fan of the Latvian laser?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right on. Hey, how long had you known about this story with Rich Dalrymple that came out today?
So, it's a tricky thing because you hear things, and I heard y'all start open the show. You hear things a lot.
Rumors, but you can't confirm or report a rumor.
Well, here's the thing is that just given the nature of the way it was settled, legally, like the way the story describes, anybody who told you it was talking legally out of turn, you know, in terms of it's not necessarily something they were supposed to be talking about. And so it's then not necessarily something you're supposed to be talking about or, you know, anything that you could confirm with anybody. And so you just hear these things and it's like, okay, interesting to know. Not really sure what I'm supposed to do with that, but I guess that's out there. And so, I mean, I don't know. I've heard, it's been a while. I've heard of this story and these allegations a while ago. It's always been out there.
Do you think the team is worried about any kind of trouble coming to them from the league office as a result of this, or is it just kind of normal business type of stuff?
See, and they talk about how they used their best HR practices and everything like that in their investigation. What I'm not clear on, and maybe I glossed over it in the article, and one of y'all can tell me if I'm wrong here. What I'm not sure of is how much, if any, the league was kept aware of the investigation and that they were conducting it. And if the league had a knowledge of it, maybe the league's already done everything that they're going to do. I think if this is the first time the league's been informed of that there was an investigation that took place and they didn't have any sort of oversight or weren't kept in the loop on it, then I would guess that this will spur them to some sort of at least cursory action or evaluation.
Bobby, you know, with the thing, you said you'd heard about it, you know, probably months ago. And I think we were all kind of in that same boat where, you know, it was like you really didn't want to talk about it or anything like that. But were you kind of feeling like that we were going to get this day? This was something, especially with all the things that were going on with the Commanders and the league investigations of various things and the Gruden emails or whatever, that maybe something like this could materialize?
Yeah, I think everybody involved knew that this was one day going to be public and discussed. You know, you can't bury something like that for forever. And I think that I think it's very difficult to believe that, you know, Don Van Atta's story came out today. Don Van Atta, this was not written yesterday. It's not like, oh, well, let me get something done for my quota this week. This is something that they've been working on for a long time. And I'm certain the Cowboys have been very aware that it's been in the works. And so I also think the retirement of Rich Dalrymple, I think he knew, even if you want to claim, or even if Rich wants to claim the retirement itself was not related to that, there is zero chance in my mind that Rich did not know this story was in the works, but when he decided to retire. And so, yeah, it's a messy thing. It's gross. You know, it's a little bit like I've described it to people before, and people have asked me both before I started working at the Fan and now that I'm at the Fan, whenever anybody's asked me about, like, oh, what's it like, you know, covering the Cowboys and being near the team and everything like that. And it's like I tell them, it's that Joe Pantoliano line from Matrix where it's like, why, oh, why didn't I take the blue pill sometimes? Where you sometimes wish you don't know these things and that you don't have the awareness of some of these things that do get out and some other things that don't get out. And, you know, sometimes it's like, I wish I could just go back to, you know, observing football. And not necessarily having to know all the and not just the Cowboys, just in general across the NFL. That's when there's that much money at stake, there's going to be ugliness. And so, you know, you wish sometimes that you didn't have an awareness of these things.
I mean, as a dad, could you imagine doing what the Joneses did, finding out somebody had preyed on your daughter like that?
No, I could not. But I also, one of the things here is because it's such a, everything we've heard has been, you know, sort of through the rumor mill or maybe somebody talking out of turn and then somebody else to, and it's this game of telephone. I just kind of go, okay, maybe there are details here that I don't know of that, you know, it's been muddied somehow or like, or that's like the most optimistic side of me that I'd like to think. I'd like to think this was not something that you just willingly looked the other way. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think that there's maybe details we're missing here or something along those lines. But yeah. I mean, given what we see, like I said, it's gross. That's the best word for it. It's gross. And, yeah. And you know, I don't know that there's a better way to describe it. And it, you know, it makes you, you know, kind of feel icky about things. But it's, you know, this is the reality, I think, a lot of times of not that it's a necessary reality. It's a terrible thing. But this is the reality of how things play out a lot of times in these sorts of, you know, high stakes, high dollar businesses and corporations.
Yeah.
Bobby, do you think that sometimes the rich and powerful act inappropriately?
You know, I've never known them to.
I don't know how to tear that down.
No, I've never known them to, probably because they spend so much money to prevent me from knowing them. But, you know, no, I think at the end of the day, it's, there's a part of, you know, there's a lot of bad people in this world and some of them happen to be rich. And so I think that, you know, I've known some terrible people, you know, across all socioeconomic classes and things like that. I would just say that I think that when you have the money at your disposal to help make some of those things go away, you take advantage of it. And, you know, that just seems to be the case a lot of times.
Yeah, I think I could take that point. You know, nobody's perfect. Everybody has skeletons in their closet, and these owners, I think, because of the system that they've really helped forge and create over decades, is built to so they can protect themselves with non-disclosure agreements, even if 100%. A crime has been committed. I don't know, you know, what can be done about it, considering how the system is built now. And I think fans are now getting so used to it, and it's been proven the fans aren't going to keep anybody accountable. As much as they might talk a big game on social media, this isn't going to cause any sort of backlash for the team from the fan base, is it?
It's some people. But, I mean, also, it may be fleeting, the way it was fleeting with, you know, the Greg Hardy signing and things like that, which made some people angry. Yeah, Mavericks are another good example of that. And the Mavericks don't even have nearly the brand, honestly, that the Cowboys do to potentially carry them through that. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier today, and I was trying to think, you know, and this is obviously the worst of it. When you put it on tiers, this is obviously the worst of it, but man, between this and then, you know, the obvious dysfunction lately between McCarthy and Jerry and everything else, this is about the worst first month of offseason PR that I can remember them having in a very, very long time.
Bobby, and you mentioned that about the thing, and you sent us the McCarthy audio yesterday and all that, and I noticed on Twitter that, you know, we all get in discussions with fans about it, you know, and people are saying, oh, well, hey, this I don't see what you're talking about, Bobby. Why are you making a big deal about it?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, kind of address that. Why is it a big deal to you, though?
The McCarthy audio?
Yeah.
Because I think that, and look, I, for the purpose of radio and things like that, we can't play a 5-minute straight long cut a lot of times. And, sure. and you got to kind of chop it up a little bit. But he had 5 straight minutes that he talked. And I think if you've heard Mike McCarthy talk before, it's not in his nature to just, let me, you know, empty the chest here. And he even started that off by saying, like, do we got an hour here? This is clearly something just by, from that first line that has been on his mind and has weighed on him. And I think it's incredibly fascinating that he would mention that he and Jerry talk specifically not only about Dan Quinn and those comments, but also about the impact of Sean Payton's presence. And I think when you couple that with Sean Payton being asked by Mike Florio, are you going to call Mike McCarthy and tell him that you're not going to be, you know, he doesn't have to look over his shoulder, and the comments Jerry makes at Senior Bowl, it's just when you take it all together, there's a lot of dysfunction here right now. There's cracks in the foundation. I think my read on it, and this is just a read, obviously, you know, we all hear different things and things like that, but I think my read on it is hearing Mike McCarthy talk yesterday, he was pissed off about the comments at Senior Bowl. That was my read on it, and I think that he was pretty irritated, and the number of times he made some sort of reference to, I wish we weren't talking about this, or I wish it wasn't that way, he's clearly annoyed. But also at the end of the day, I think he underestimated what being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys meant, and he should have had a better understanding coming in here what that was going to be like.
Yeah, I hear that. Do you think he called Rich Eisen or the NFL Network and said, hey, I want to do an interview to give my side?
Man, having a 5-minute answer in your back pocket tells me he was ready for that question at the very least.
Yeah.
I don't know if he called or if Rich called, but look, this is the week after the Super Bowl when everybody's done selling their mattresses and their vodka.
Yeah.
And you're telling Rich Eisen this is y'all's first day of work on, you know, installing the offense or getting the offense ready to install for training camp and everything like that. And so the very first day of work for the 2022 season, and you're hopping on the phone to talk about your job status with Rich Eisen when you're so averse to talking to anybody else.
But you
don't want to talk to Sean and RJ. You didn't want to talk to Sean and RJ about Terrence Steele, but you want to talk to Rich Eisen for 5 minutes about your job.
Yeah, it is awful. I mean, that, interesting. Yeah,
he's only what motivates that? You're only going to do that if there was some sort of, and again, I hate to be so speculative, but you're only going to talk like that if there was an understanding. And we know he has a history of using the media when he wants to. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to use the local media all the time, you know, for very basic things about the football team, but he does want to use Peter King or Tom Pelissero or Rich Eisen to get certain messages out there.
Yeah, you know, they were talking about what could the motive be, and could he be so mad at Jerry that he would walk away? I don't think so.
No.
I think he's just laying the groundwork to point at things when he does get fired.
I think he has a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what that was. I don't think it's laying the groundwork to walk away or anything else like that. I just think it was, look, this is the guy who sticks his chest out and tells us, I know how to win Super Bowls. I know how to win in this league. And so I think that that was a point of pride. He didn't just want to sit around and wait for, you know, sitting at Combine, you know, around a table talking to reporters or wait till, you know, a press conference into the spring or something like that. I think he wanted to be able to get his side of it out now and stick up for his own name and his own reputation.
You know, one interesting thing about Jerry, and I think a main reason that he let Jason Garrett go for so long, is he knew he could trust Jason to not air dirty laundry, kind of like how Jimmy did, and maybe Parcells did a little bit more than Jerry wanted.
Yeah.
And I wonder how Jerry reacts when he hears something like that. Do you think he's more against Mike McCarthy now?
I don't know that it was the best timing. You get the Mike McCarthy thing on the night before. That's going to drop about Rich Dalrymple. That's not two great stories back to back. I don't know how much they love that. I don't know how much he likes Mike talking out of turn like that. I do know Jerry has big shoulders, and he's willing to, you know, take any sort of criticism you can level at him as long as you're fair. And I don't necessarily think that Mike McCarthy was unfair yesterday. He just gave his perspective. So, you know, I think Jerry respects strength. So if he interprets that as strength for Mike McCarthy standing up for himself, I don't know that he'd have a huge problem with it. But Look, my biggest takeaway from the McCarthy stuff, and it's a cumulative thing that I think we've seen in recent years. You look at Cheeto talking at the Super Bowl about, you know, the bright lights, and it's just about football over here. And we heard Cole Beasley talk about it's just about football over here. And, you know, we heard Dak during the season and Mike McCarthy in this interview talk about, I usually don't listen to those things. I tune it out. Dak saying, you know, we don't listen to outside noise. That's impossible. You can't reasonably say you're not going to listen to the noise when you're with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think what you're setting these players up for, and these coaches and people in this organization, is you're setting them up for failure when you're telling people just don't listen to it. They can't keep doing that. They have to instead start teaching these guys, I think, to compartmentalize and how to put things in the proper context and how to handle the noise rather than just pretend like it doesn't exist. Because if you tell guys pretend like it doesn't exist, then when they're not able to, they become Taco Charlton, they become Tristan Hill, they get the rabbit ears, and they fall apart. You need to start giving these guys the tools to deal with the noise, because you're never going to be able to block it out.
Yes, I love that. That's good advice, Bobby. Now for the big story, what's going on with the Rams championship parade? Have you seen this?
The shirt that Les Snead was wearing?
Boy, and Stafford turned up.
I was more leading into it with the lack of fans on the parade route.
Oh, that too?
It was like a normal day in Los Angeles until they got to the end.
Well, I mean, there weren't, you know, Super Bowl television eyeballs on there, so everybody across L.A. got to the point where they're like, oh, we don't have to care about football. We can stop pretending now. It's just a parade.
All right, broski. We'll appreciate your insights on everything as always, and thanks for the quick time move here. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, normal time.
I love you all, especially Bertans.
Yes, sir. Yes, Davis Bertans is set to join us, the Mavs marksman. The Latvian laser himself joining us from the road here next in the G-Bag Nation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're expecting Davis Bertans to join us here in just a moment. They are on the road. And, you know, you can be in arenas, you can be in hotels out there and not always have the best cellular connection. So he rung us there at the break, but it was bad. So now he is he's trying to find a better connection.
Yeah, it could be a bus ride, too. You know, That kind of thing. You're moving along through a city, going through streets and buildings and stuff like that. Kind of mess you up a little bit.
Yes, indeed. Okay, we have so much going on. The Mavs victory, what it means for the team. You know, did the Mavs win the trade? Is it too early to say that? So we can talk about that with you at 877-881-1053. The segment here on The Fan is brought to you by Mark Rubin, Rubin and Associates, 1-800-LAWYERS. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin. He will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. It starts with a simple confidential phone call. Mark Rubin, Rubin and Associates, at 1-800-LAWYERS, DallasTexasLegal.com. Yeah, I'd say that was a successful start from Bertans and Dinwiddie, wasn't it?
Hell yes, it was.
Yeah, I can't wait to see more of this. Obviously, beating the Heat in Game 1 is an incomplete story. But based on what I saw yesterday, I think what you're going from is Porzingis, who needed a very specific role and hated just being a floor stretcher. He was like, you kidding me? I'm not just here to sing backup. I'm the star of this show, buddy, to a guy who's like, yeah. And you know what really surprised me last night is, and maybe this is Dinwiddie in a new environment, but everything we heard about him in Washington was he was going to be uncomfortable off the ball. You know, he's a horrible shooter. And they, you know, we've heard nothing but like bad things about Dinwiddie, like, you know, kind of how what Tim Hardaway Jr. was. But I saw a guy who was very willing to give up the ball and was skilled at dribbling and also being able to see all of his teammates to find the open guy. I didn't see a guy forcing anything. So I think you get more athletic. I think you get more skilled, and I think your basketball IQ goes up. And now you have real depth with your wing guys. You know, Dinwiddie and Bullock and, you know, it goes on and on. Josh Green with the role that he has, Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, you have a number of guys, I think, compared to just a couple of years ago. So I want to tip my cap to the front office. And I also want to tip my cap to Jason Kidd. I think he's doing a hell of a job bringing this whole thing back together.
He's going to teach Dinwiddie the free throws. Heard him mention that after the game.
God, they missed some.
He was like, yeah, they both did a great job tonight, I thought. And he was like, and We'll talk to Spencer about the free throws later.
Luka
0 for 4.
Luka missed one and Brunson missed one when it was like 90, it was 96, 93 kind of a thing. And I was like, going,
they actually closed out a game against a good team, though.
I know the last 5 minutes and 18 seconds of that game, I was like, going, oh, please just play some defense here. You know, just keep holding yourself together. But that's a nice win. You know, you go down there after the trade deadline and get a victory like that, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, I hear you. 214 says, I think we will end up seeing the Mavs did win the trade. They got two solid veterans in exchange for an overpaid and often injured player. I think just by the subtraction of getting Porzingis away, to me, that's a win. You know, it's not like he was dominating the scoring or the rebounding or the block shots. He was kind of a rim protector. I think a below average rebounder for his size. And a, you know, pretty good score, but the three-point shooting wasn't falling. We've talked so much about Bertans being down in the low 30s. That's exactly where Porzingis has been. Okay, at 877-881-1053, if you do have thoughts on that, we'd like to hear them. I do want to say, I think I might have been wrong all along with the story about Bally Sports, okay? The story yesterday from Callie Kaplan in the morning news, writing, don't expect a return to normal TV-watching fandom anytime soon or potentially ever. She says industry experts are saying consumer behavior and expectations will likely have to evolve to meet the broadcast industry's new approach. I was going with they need to figure it out in terms of teams and cable networks to actually give the cities and the communities that have built the fan base our team back.
Nope.
But maybe we need to get it figured out and just go to the services that are available. It's just supply and demand. And we're getting the truth. DFW sports fans don't give a you-know-what about anything but the Cowboys and their favorite college football team. Right? Because all you have to do is go to DirecTV or the DirecTV app, Suddenlink, Grande Communications, Spectrum, jailbroken Fire Stick. You know, there's like six different ways you can access this.
Shout out to that Fire Stick.
You know, I think we should be kind of fortunate this isn't the old way where you were just competing with multiple cable outlets and they would give one provider the rights to the game, and if that cable provider wasn't in your neighborhood, you're done. At least with this way, you can stream it with like DirecTV Stream, you know. But I think the takeaway is that you can't expect the team or the cable companies to save you on this. If you really, really want to watch the Mavs, you got to, like, pay extra or, you know, be a cord cutter, something like that. Okay, joining us now here on 105.3 The Fan is the newest Mav, Davis Bertans, here on 105.3 The Fan. And good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Congrats on a successful debut last night. How did it feel out there with your new team?
Thank you. And it was exciting. It was exciting to get back on the court and play basketball. And, of course, getting a win on the road against the best team in the East is just cherry on top of a sundae.
When you go to a new team, how long does it take to be comfortable with what they're going to ask you to do offensively? You're a pro. You've been on different teams before. But how long does it take, and do they have to kind of scale anything back to get you and Spencer in there so quickly?
You know, I think the whole system is pretty simple, and you know, Luka has the ball in his hands a lot, and he's creating for others and just getting some open, easy looks, because since he gets double teamed and triple teamed a lot. So all the coaching staff is asking, you know, whatever play to call is after a pass or two, you just play basketball. You find somebody open and try to get a good look on offense and a simple system on defense. And, yeah, it didn't take much to get ready. We actually had just one actual full practice as a team together. So it felt great out there. It seemed like it hasn't been only a couple of days since we got here.
How much fun is it to know that if you kind of hang out in a corner somewhere, that eventually you're going to get to shoot an open three?
That's great. That's great. It takes zero effort and getting good looks like that. It just, you know, it's an easy way to get in a rhythm during the game, you know, whatever the minute situation is. But once you get those open, easy ones in a corner, you know, you can, you know, even if after a couple of misses, that can turn around real quick.
The dunk you had, I tell you what, that was nice explosiveness on your part to get up the court and get that thing down. You showed a little bit of motion about that. Was that one of those things that was kind of like it was that moment where you're like, okay, I'm somewhere different. I'm feeling good about things. Let's go forward from here. Was it kind of that feeling that you had after you flushed the ball the way you did?
I think it's just I've never felt this fresh in the middle of February before in my career. So, you know, what I've been doing is just practicing and keeping myself in shape and be ready for whatever opportunity comes. And, you know, once it did, it's just right now I'm feeling probably the same way like most guys feel in the beginning of the season.
Well, and, you know, you looked at that way, the way you play. But you talk about the things that, you know, when you were in Washington and you know, with the shooting and stuff. Kind of walk us through a little bit, though. Like, you know, we don't always see you guys practice. What were you trying to do to get your shot back? I mean, you're one of these guys that can knock those threes down. As you were going through that, what were you trying to do to get yourself back on track doing that?
You know, you just shoot a lot in practice. And I won't even say that I lost my shot or anything. It just it's all about rhythm for shooters and I was never really getting a chance to get that rim during the season. There were a couple of like short stretches of some games that I did, and I didn't get the looks that I like. But like very often it would be just, you know, on offense I would take a shot because, man, I want to take a shot instead of just taking a shot that is good for the team. You know, those are two completely different situations. And you take a good shot for a team, there's definitely less pressure and you make it or you miss it, it's a good shot for the team, and everybody's happy with that.
What is your spot? What is the shot you like?
Pretty much anything behind the three-point line.
Today's NBA.
What's the number you're hoping to hit on your three-point percentages? What's your goal?
Well, I don't really think about that. It's just, you know, my goal is always to hit 100%, so the closer I get to that, the better, so... That's always the goal, you know.
Yeah.
Davis, when you were with the Spurs 2016 to 2019, are you aware that you were the enemy, and are you okay with that? And would you like to apologize to Maverick fans for playing for the Spurs?
I was just doing my job. I'm really not going to apologize for that because I guess I would say all those steps along the way led me here, so
there we go.
Yeah, we go.
I love it.
Let's look at it this way. Like, I know I've probably heard the Mavs fans those few years in San Antonio in some of the games. So, you know, I'm hoping to bring that the same thing on wearing the blue and the white jersey.
Well, they're excited after last night's game. You know, speaking of apologies in last night's game, I saw that Jason Kidd had to apologize for not challenging that. That was a legit block that you had, right? That wasn't a goaltend?
Oh, yeah, definitely not a goaltend. I definitely got the ball before it hit the glass.
What are the things in basketball you're known as a shooter? What would you like to do more of? Is it block more shots, rebound, handle the ball? What are the things you would like to do other than being that kind of stretch big?
You know, it's like, in my opinion, role players are very important on teams. So I have my role, and I'd rather do it to the best of my ability than try to do something more that I'm maybe not that great at. Of course, there's things that I gotta try to help more. It's either rebounding. I would say rebounding is the one thing that I should try to help more and do a better job. But other than that, it's just be a role player at the best of my ability.
Why would you say things didn't work out better in Washington and you were spending so much time on the bench? What happened there?
That's probably a better question for the coaching staff there. But, my guess is that had a lot of players. I would say we had maybe a couple guys that are higher level players like Bradley Beal and Kuzma. But then after that, I would say more or less all the players were similar level, and there wasn't like a clear, like, this is like the first unit, this is like the second unit, and then we got guys, that stay ready in case somebody goes down and step in. So it was really hard, and especially with the rotations that I think coaches were trying to figure out until the deadline, hadn't really figured that out with all the rotations and having 10, 11 players playing in a game. It's really hard for most guys to actually feel good on the court, and then you think about it, like, you know what, if I don't take this shot, then I'll probably go to a bench in like 2 minutes and I might not even get a look up. So and that gets to a position where it's like players are taking shots that they want to take instead of what the team wants them to take.
Davis, when you walked in, and again going to a new team and all that, and you're a veteran player and all that, is there a little bit of nervousness when you walk into a new situation and you walk into that locker room and, guys know you and stuff like that, but maybe not on a personal level? Is there a little bit of nervousness when you first walk into that room?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. But honestly, the locker room's so fun here that I felt at home the first day I walked in.
Oh, did someone go after you? Did somebody get a joke with you or something like that? Or did you have an experience that you can share with us?
I wouldn't really like share the details, but Maxi did mess with me a little bit, and then there's Boban and Luka that speak Serbian. Both of them are, Boban played for the rival team in Serbia from my side, and I guess Luka's family is more of fans of that team, so they're a little bit on the opposite side when we speak about Serbia. So yeah, that's like, it's just really easy to fit in that way in a locker room like that, and guys are really welcoming, and honestly, the jokes and humor are up to the level that I enjoy. So it was really easy to kind of get comfortable quick.
Davis, you've got a really interesting story that I wasn't even familiar with until you got to the Mavericks, and that you have 4.5 fingers instead of 5. Is that something that is well known amongst the league, or when you get to a new team, or do they look at you and go, holy cow, how do you shoot the ball?
I felt like most people knew about that. Well, some, I don't know how many people followed me when I played for other teams, so I guess that's why I might not be so well known. But yeah, it's just, some people are shocked that it's a shooting hand, then a lot of comparisons get drawn to Gerald Green immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the first reactions most of the time.
It's Davis Bertans here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Well, all right, man. I mean, congrats again. Welcome to town on behalf of 105.3 The Fan. Everybody's looking forward to you getting a great reception, and best of luck to you the rest of the way. We hope you make it a great home here in Dallas.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You betcha. There he goes. Davis Bertans here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, the clipped finger there. That's crazy. That's an interesting look there. That was the case with Gerald Green when he came into the league. I believe Michael Jordan, in between stops with the Bulls and the Wizards, accidentally cut the tip of his finger off.
Oh, no.
With a cigar cutter.
Yeah,
unfortunate incident. But that didn't affect him too much. But, yeah, that's tough. I guess it's because it's more your your pinky, middle finger, and thumb that kind of come together to spread out, or
you just get used to it.
Yeah. It really is unbelievable that even with full hands and full fingers, you can chunk that thing in from 24 feet away so consistently.
Well, you think about the balance he has to have, or how he has to position the ball in his hand and able to get it off as he's doing that. But he seems to have adjusted pretty well throughout his career.
Okay, 775. Check this out. Dumwitty stats last night, 4-2-5. How in Sam Hell can you say he played a good game? Are you on meds? Well, I didn't say it was a great game.
Relatively speaking.
I think what you're looking at, though, at least for me, is I have been covering basketball professionally for 25 years, and I've been watching basically the same cast of Mavs characters fail for 3 or 4 years. And it becomes painfully obvious when somebody steps on the court with the kind of skills that are absent, and you know how those skills are going to add up to create easier shots for others. And, you know, that's what I saw. You know, it's kind of like when everybody was Zion Williamson crazy, and I hadn't seen Ja Morant play, and I saw about 4 minutes before the first time out in the NCAA tournament, I said, that's the guy you take number one right there. Look at the skill set. It's all on display. Every time a guy comes down the court and has the ball in his hands, you can tell how poised is he, how comfortable is he, where is he looking, you know? Is he going to get shots for others? And to me, Dinwiddie showed that other than Luka and Jalen, maybe even more so than Jalen naturally, he might be the second best creator for others, and that's something this team desperately needs. Okay, when you come back, pitchers and catchers have reported. What? They have not reported. No, they have not reported. But we have a hell of a Rangers pitcher story here for you in baseball stuff. Plus, that major show announcement's coming up at 4:20 here on The Fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bank Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll go over some of the highlights, or maybe you'd call them lowlights, from the Dodd and Van Natta piece about the Cowboys here coming up at 4 o'clock. If you haven't had a chance to read that, stick around. Some of this stuff is quite sensational.
People in positions of power sometimes aren't the best. Get ready.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Pitchers and catchers, again, they have not reported, but we do have some killer Rangers content for you. This is like...
prove it!
It's like the most exciting prospect I think we have right now in DFW sports.
Jack Leiter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, before I get to this content, I do want to say there's a video of him working out. I don't know where I saw it.
Uh-oh. Are you going to tell me he looks doughy?
No.
Oh, okay.
The exact opposite.
Oh, shredded up.
He looks steroid strong. I don't know if it is steroids, but he's got some of those high shorts that the kids are wearing.
Oh, yeah. He's got quads for days and calves.
They're bulky and ripped.
Oh, he's ready for the big leagues right now. Yeah, I'm looking at this. This dude's ready right now.
Right?
Oh, man. He does so many squats.
It's like
calf raises.
It's like a football player or pro wrestler's body. That's what you're looking at. I thought seeing him in that Vanderbilt uniform that he was kind of slight and was really going to have to get in and work out and like build up to be strong and all that, handle 30 starts or whatever.
The big question of him coming out was that he was a smallish pitcher.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the thing? Maybe he's like kind of.
I'll show you smallish.
This is making me very insecure about myself.
Right?
That dude, Choppy, is going to get so jealous when he sees this.
I heard him talking about it this morning.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he was
claiming he had him beat?
No. Okay. He was more worshiping in the altar of young Jack Leiter.
Oh, I tell you what, I understand.
That's what that 21-year-old, I don't know, and plus some genetics will do. He probably got in a gym for like 4 months. He's like, all right, guys, I'm good to go. Look like a damn bodybuilder out here.
I don't think Al Leiter was built like that. I'm going to have to refresh my memory.
Kind of sloppy. No.
Easy, bro. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, Brian, that's good journalism. I think Mom must have kicked in some pretty impressive genetics,
yeah,
if you ask me here. You know, maybe Jack's just totally dialed in. Whatever the case, Levi Weaver in The Athletic got some quotes about what Jack's been up to this offseason. It was all ready to go.
Eating pizza?
eating something. I don't know. I don't know. Definitely, maybe that was Dad eating pizza. I think Jack was like eating lean chicken and broccoli, you know, 3 times a day along with 3 protein shakes. But the first quote in here is about the team's plan to have him train for a lot of the fall and into the winter at Vanderbilt. They don't see any reason for him to work out anywhere else. Jack says there's a pro locker room. It's actually very nice. Mm-hmm. So any given day you go in late in the morning, any time of the offseason, it's like an all-star team in there. You'll see big leaguers, not just guys who went to Vandy either. It's a bunch of different guys working out using those facilities. So I had catchers to throw to. I had the weight room to work out in. I had everything I needed and more.
He's in that weight room too.
And I feel like it was a very productive fall working on what I needed to work on. First takeaway.
Power clean, snatch squat.
Dude, everything. You know, I think he had like a pro workout guy in there with him. But the value of drafting a Vandy pitcher, obviously there's a significant pedigree. But also for free comes along with this mentoring program for the entire offseason. You get to go hang out with guys who were just in the big leagues. They're sharing their secrets in between sets. They're looking out for you. They want you to succeed. They have such Vanderbilt pride. They're like, yeah, this is amazing. I get to come back and hang out at Vanderbilt in the offseason and work out. He talked with the baseball coach, Tim Corbin.
He's got a contract extension.
Well-deserved. Corbin asked the chancellor, hey, I need you to build this pro locker room for our former players. The chancellor's like, what are you talking about? We're spending tens of millions of dollars on this total redo in the athletic department with the facilities. We're not building a place for people that don't even go to school here anymore. Damn pro locker room.
Come on, jerks.
Tim said, hey, you have a kid? Chancellor's like, yeah. He says, well, have you closed her bedroom? You know, she went off to college. And then he said, no, I haven't. And I said, so it's still available to her when she comes back? And he said, yes, it is. And I said, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. And apparently that sold the chancellor. Like, oh, okay, I get it now. Well, you know, these kids need a place to come back home. Let them know that they're still welcome.
Well, they donate money, too.
Hey.
A lot of these professional baseball players, you know, when if you get an opportunity to work in a professional locker room and, you know, the school, the education, all that, you know, and you making, you know, tens of millions of dollars, what's, you know, hey, I'll be
nobody's ever made money after going to Vanderbilt.
Oh, Brian. Then it tried like hell to get in that place. I mean, he really did.
Yeah.
He knew.
No, that's a good point. That's an investment in future return.
Absolutely. I think if you have a place where former baseball players can hang out and see each other and stuff, and who's the next guy that's going to donate $1 million? And then the next guy that's going to donate, well, I'll donate two. I'll donate three. And the next thing you know, you get your really nice ballpark to play in.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Corbin says it's an awkward time in their life when they're done with the responsibilities at school. They're playing pro ball. And then the time between October or February becomes very unbalanced for them. I just felt like if we could have a facility for them in which they could come back, they wouldn't have to spend any of their own money. They could get in the strength room. They could get on the field. They could use the mounds. They could use the pitching lab and then have a place for them where they could shower.
Damn, are you saying the Rangers are a poverty franchise? Like we're the organization where they're like, why don't you just stay at the college? They got better facilities. Why don't you swing up to Allen High School? Melissa's got a great new facility up there. You got some really nice places to work out.
I mean, it is a nice facility in Arizona, you know, but perhaps it's better at Vanderbilt.
We've seen it with our own eyes.
We walked
where we weren't supposed to because of Brian while he bragged about it.
Yeah.
While Rich Rice was right behind us.
You just walk like you own the place. Everybody leaves you alone. Rich Rice is stalking us.
As the PR guy.
Did you guys want me to show
Jeff,
you where to
what
go?
What kind of friend does it like kind of go,
What do you say? You were mid-talking. He was 8 feet behind us.
You were proud, Brian.
I was proud, Brian, but Jeff, my teammate, wasn't helping out like, ha, imagine if somebody was behind us here while I was walking with us that was not supposed to.
Yeah. Rich was good people, though. You know, he showed us up to our appropriate spot.
There are good Riches out there.
COVID had shut it down. We needed to get on the air. You were taking the initiative to help with the Rangers. What you know, they locked us out. Right?
Yeah, they should have left our gate open. Yeah. They didn't, so we went through the kitchen.
We went through the kitchen and then through the meeting rooms and then the locker room.
Yeah, the supply closet, you know.
And then like
thought it was going to get me a new era hat.
JD's office. Where else do we go?
Hey, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, guys. Maybe don't lock us out next time. Jack also talked about his interactions with the team. He says, I built in a trip to Arizona to throw in the pitching lab the Rangers have, kind of get all my biometrics measured. And he said, I thought that was really helpful. And when I just worked on a few different things in terms of my pitch repertoire and fine-tuning, there were some small mechanical shifts that I think had to be made in terms of the way my body was moving. The top of my leg lift as I drift down the mound, kind of just to be more directional to the catcher. Sometimes my glove shoulder can open up. And
out here grinding.
Mechanic stuff. Yeah, he said the trip to Arizona did pay dividends as well. But I just think it's a big positive to get all that mentorship, especially if you don't have many veteran pitchers on your own team that can show a kid the way to go.
The great John Gray can show him. So there's nothing in there about doing, like, walking lunges with, like, 275 on his back or anything like that?
That's going to have to be a follow-up. I don't think anybody knew.
Levi will figure it out. Levi Weaver's an incredible reporter. Levi, I need to know about the weight training.
Yeah, yeah. Follow up on the – I think Levi's got a line to him because he wrote this story, got some good quotes from Jack.
I was talking to Levi the other night. I met up with Levi, and he was like, this is torture. He's like, do you know how hard it is to write about baseball when there's not baseball?
Yeah.
He's figuring it out.
Yeah, that's a good story right there. I don't know. I might just tell the editor, hey, man, keep those checks coming. I'm not working until the game's back.
He wrote about the Olympics or something. He's like, I'm having to write about other stuff. Like, I got to do something.
Very talented guy, though. Massive news of the day. We have a big show announcement coming up at 4:20. You're not going to want to miss that. The biggest show announcement in G-Bag history. But we have details from the ESPN story about Rich Dalrymple. How bad does it make the Cowboys look for covering this up? Your text reaction coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.